The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised. Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.
Smart, sexy, kinky, fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud. Today's show is being recorded in front of a live studio audience at Catalyst Con West. Catalyst Con is an amazing sex positive event that you really, really have to find out more about. You do. The next one is in March of 2014 in Washington, D.C. You can go to catalystcon.com for more information. And if you want to register, use the coupon code Tristan for $10 off your registration. My guest today is Cunning Minx, a part-time alternative relationship activist who loves her extremely demanding day job in marketing. The sultry voice producer and host of the Polyamory Weekly podcast shares stories and insights every week on responsible non-monogamy from a pansexual, kink-friendly point of view. For over 350 episodes, Minx and the Poly Weekly community have explored what it takes to create and sustain successful relationships of all types. Minx has spoken really all over the place on poly, on kink, everywhere from Geek Girl Con to the Heartland Polyamory Conference. And the Poly Weekly podcast is the winner of the 2007 Erotic Award for Best Podcast. Hi, Minx.
Hi, Tristan. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm really happy to have you. I've been on your show, which is fantastic and groundbreaking. And so finally, I get you on my show.
Woohoo!
I'm always interested to know people's origin stories, basically how you first discovered you were non-monogamous or you first began identifying as non-monogamous or polyamorous.
Yeah, I really actually kind of stumbled into polyamory, unless you go back and think about it. So the story is that I met this guy, Gray Dancer. I met him in my dear friend's kitchen. He was there. I was stopping by to pick up a tripod that she'd borrowed. And I was like, oh, who is this dark-haired, bearded man who looks like he came out of a Renaissance fair? This is my type. And so we they introduced me, and we chatted. And I followed up, as I always do in my professional format, right? And a little bit later, he came out to me as being polyamorous. We were doing AOL Instant Messenger chat. Remember that, right? So we're chatting back and forth, and he came out to me as poly, and I said, okay, you know, just so you know, that is not my thing. I am not interested in you that way, but I'd like to keep, it makes me a little uncomfortable, but I'd like to keep chatting, and so we did. And at some point, I decided I was interested in him that way, and I said, you know, I'd like to talk about this, and I'd like to maybe discuss this a little bit, and I mean, the short story is really that we fell in love. He was engaged at the time. So they were married. He and his now ex-wife were married just a month or two after he and I met.
That seems awkward. I'm just going to put it out there.
Well, to be fair, I thought that this would maybe last like a week tops. So I went into this going, this is just ridiculously crazy. This will never fucking work. And I'm just going to go and try this thing and have some fun. And it'll all blow up in a week because there's no way this will ever work. And then I'll have a great story to tell people later on.
Did you go to the wedding? Were you invited?
I did go to the wedding. It was when I don't recommend it. Simply because the first year of poly is very, very difficult emotionally to negotiate because you're breaking so many societal taboos, right? And you just have to think and talk about everything. And this was only a few months in. We'd been dating. I knew I had such strong feelings for him. It turns out I'd fallen madly in love with him. And here I am watching him marry somebody else. But I'm also happy for him, and I'm looking at her, and what I'm thinking the whole time is, what they have is so beautiful and so wonderful. Who am I to come in and fuck up their relationship? I mean, this is wrong. I shouldn't be doing this. I'm a homewrecker. Look at them. They're happy. And that was incredibly difficult. But we ended up staying together for well over 5 years.
Wow. And so his wife, I'm assuming because he identified as poly, was his wife polyamorous? She was on board. She was like, hey, come to my wedding. Everything was cool.
At that time, everything was cool.
At that time.
At that time. So they had actually tried polyamory before, but it had been really more along the lines of you go to a party and you're sort of poly for the evening, right? And this was the first time that she'd had to deal with somebody being in love with her husband. And I do think that I said she was okay at the beginning. I think that after the first 6 months or a year or so, she discovered she really wasn't – she was okay with somebody fucking her husband – but not really okay with somebody being in love and being that big a part of her husband's life. And unfortunately, she wasn't really able to voice that. But the good news is I learned a lot, and I share that with you guys on the podcast.
I think it's brave and honest to tell these stories and really important in all their kind of messiness because, you know, as much as we want to shout from the rooftops what a viable, amazing option this could be for people, I do think it behooves us to also say, and this is not all perfect.
Well, and I think it's really important that we give people the freedom to say, you know what, I thought I was going to be okay with poly, and I've tried it, and I've done everything. I'm monogamous. Or actually how she ended up defining herself was polykinkerous. So she likes playing with other people. She's totally comfortable with her partners playing with other people. But when it comes down to it, this wonderful definition that somebody really, really smart came up with, what she really wanted was coupled non-monogamy.
Oh, partner non-monogamy.
Yes.
I came up with that.
You did. And once your book came out, Great Answer and I both read it and went, okay, this would have been really, really handy to have had 5 years ago because that's what she wanted, and she didn't know how to say it, and she didn't know what to call it.
Right, right. Yeah. You founded Polyamory Weekly as a resource for the poly and the poly curious, and you really share lots of experiences, your own experiences, other people's experiences, to help guide people on kind of their journeys to poly and also kink. What is the one piece of advice you would give to people who are considering polyamory?
The most important aspect of polyamory is you. The amount of self-knowledge that you have is incredibly high. You have to be insanely curious. You have to be able to know, understand, and love the reasons why you act and behave in certain ways in certain situations. So if you are not willing to do the hard work to become an insanely secure person and become an expert in you and why you act the way that you do, polyamory is going to be very difficult for you.
Yeah. I mean, I always tell people, if you're not a big like talker and you don't like processing your feelings and other people's feelings and you don't really like to do a lot of negotiation, this is not for you. There's a lot of talking. There's more talking than fucking.
It is true. It is true. Actually, When podcasting first came out, there was a reviewer who was, you know, looking at all these podcasts. And actually, I did this interview for NPR's This American Life that never aired, unfortunately. So I was on with them for 3 hours and talking about, you know, responsible and communication, everything. And at the end of 3 hours, the producer who was remote came on the show and she said, I don't want to sound rude, but you know, all you've done is talk about communication for 3 hours. It doesn't sound very sexy.
You haven't sold it.
Exactly.
Right.
To which I responded, well, it's really sexy when you get both boyfriends in bed with you. And she's like, say that. And I'm like, I can't say that on NPR. I'm supposed to sound smart.
You have all these questions that you explore, and you also take listener questions, and you post them on your website. And so on a recent show, you explored this question, which I thought was fascinating. How do you come to accept and embrace polyamory when it wasn't your idea?
Yeah, that was a listener-driven question. And I felt that my experience was interesting, but not as valid as some other people's, because in general, that question comes from the point of view of somebody who's in an existing couple, right? So your partner, your spouse comes to you and says, hey, I want to be poly. And so whatever insecurities you might have had just jump up to the surface.
Right.
Exactly. Right.
But I know from speaking to people and interviewing people that that is often how it happens. And essentially someone says, I'll give it a try. I don't know. And then other people say, no, can't do it. This is really funny because I interviewed all these people for my book, right? And there's this one couple, and I asked every single person, like, how did you tell a person you were dating that you're polyamorous? How did you come out to them? How did you approach the issue? And this one couple I interviewed from the South said, oh, we met at a polyamory workshop. And I was like, how nice for you. Because you've like gotten that piece out of the way, but this is like one out of 150 people that,
right,
that do that. More often than not, it's a much tougher set. You know, you don't know how the person's going to respond when you bring it up.
Yeah, you really don't. And you know, I asked for a lot of listener feedback for that one, because I really believe that Polyamory Weekly should be a community resource. It's not just about what I think you should do, but what others who have experienced this also think that you should do. And some of the information that they gave was really valuable. I think Franklin and Eve were with me giving advice on this show. And one of the first things they said was, you really have to, whatever emotional reaction you have, that's cool, that's okay. But please take a moment to give your partner credit, because anybody who brings this up to a long-term partner or spouse realizes that just by asking, they may have just ended the relationship, and they have changed the relationship forever, because even if you decide not to be poly, that's there. Mm-hmm. Whatever insecurities or issues that brings up, those are there. It is terrifying to bring this up to a partner. When Gray Dancer brought it up to his wife after they'd been together for a year or two, he'd always identified as non-monogamous, but kept thinking he could, you know, if he could be a good person and be monogamous. And when he didn't want to do that with her, he knew that the relationship might end. And he did not want it to end, but he also didn't want to, you know, he wanted to marry her, and he didn't want to do that to somebody with whom he could not be his true self. Mm. So, you know, give your partner props for bringing that up, because it's as scary as, you know, coming out as, you know, gay or bi or saying you have some unmet sexual need. It is really terrifying.
That's a really good point. Okay, we're going to take a break. No matter how many partners you have, a great resource for you is Good Vibrations. The San Francisco-based retailer trusted for more than 3 decades to provide comfortable, safe, and welcoming environments to find sex-positive products and education. You can check them out at goodvibes.com and use coupon code TristanGoodVibes for 20% off your purchase of $100 or more. So, we have a lot more to talk about when it comes to polyamory. Stay with us. More Sex Out Loud when we return.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than 3 decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at 6 retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423. Or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. That's my wonderful live studio audience, because this episode is being recorded at Catalyst Con West. And my guest today is Cunning Minx, who is an alternative relationship specialist, a podcaster, all around very, very smart person. The other great thing about having a live audience is that I have a chance to give away fabulous prizes from some of my sponsors. And today we're giving away prizes from Good Vibrations, from WeVibe, and from Sport Sheets. So when people ask questions, they win stuff. That's how this show works. Before the break, we were talking about some of the things that you talk about on your podcast, Poly Weekly, and you have this thing called the Happy Poly Moment. What is that?
So the Happy Poly Moment is a chance for listeners to write in or call in and share a little frubble or a little compersion, which is the non-sexual joy that you feel in seeing your partners happy. And I started this segment a couple of years into the podcast because it sort of felt like we were, week after week, we were just talking about heartbreaking poly drama and how terrible it was and how hard it was and how people weren't being treated well. They couldn't get what they wanted and they tried to get what they wanted and it was a little depressing.
No, right. But this is the thing that happens. It's like when you go on sites where people can review things, people who have really strong feelings or had a bad experience at a restaurant or don't like a product, they're ready to go on and tell the world. They want you to know. But there's a much higher percentage of people who want to say negative things. It's like when you go and you had a really pleasant time at a restaurant, you don't think, oh, I've got to go on Yelp and tell people this was nice. You know what I mean? It's like no one gets like fired up for that. So it's true. Like people are calling your show. People are writing to you because they have quote unquote issues. They have a problem they want help with. They don't call your show to be like, hey, so my name's so-and-so and I'm from this place and my relationship is awesome. Thanks for listening. Right?
Yeah, this is why, you know, can't be on TV because there's just not enough conflict. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, when I started driving Poly Weekly more towards being a community resource, I realized that it's just really important to hear about people who are doing poly well and who are doing it right and are happy with it. It may be a new relationship, it may be long-term, it may be older, but I just wanted to get some balance. And I've been really pleased that people love to write in and call in, and some of them are sexy, happy poly moments. Some of them are really simple, like we went for a hike together and it was not awkward at all.
You mean maybe with multiple partners?
Exactly,
or something.
With the multiple partners, or you know, we all got together to watch TV and sit on the couch and cuddle, and we'd never done that before. And I looked over, and my wife was cuddling with her boyfriend, and I felt really happy for her, and I'd never felt that way before. Mm. And I just thought it was really important to document that stuff, because otherwise, you know, if you ask therapists who don't specialize in alternative relationships, if you ask them about polyamory, they tend to have the view that this destroys relationships. Why? Because the people that have problems with them and want to fix it go to the therapist. So they only hear about the broken ones. And I just wanted to make sure that there's some messaging out there saying that people actually can be happy in poly just every now and then.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you brought up compersion, which, as you said, is kind of this state of happiness and joy that you experience when your partner is experiencing joy with someone else, with another partner. Some people also consider it the opposite of jealousy. I'm curious to hear your thoughts about what compersion is, how we get there, if it's necessary.
You know, it's really funny. People have asked about compersion or the British. I favor the British word for it, which is frubble, because how cute is frubble? You're like, oh, I'm feeling all frubbly. That sounds adorable. Compersion sounds like you're mixing something in a chemistry lab, right? I don't like that word as much. It's the Latin roots that bother me. You know, I actually kind of dislike when people describe it as the opposite of jealousy, because you're defining a positive by a negative. And I understand that that makes sense for some people. But to me, frubble, compersion, was actually a very simple concept. It's kind of like when you have a best friend and your best friend gets a new job that he or she really, really wanted, you're happy for your friend, right? You know, when your mom goes on a diet and finally lost all the weight she wanted to lose and so she's happy, you're happy for her. To me, this has nothing to do with polyamory. It's just about being a human being. When people you love are experiencing joy, you experience that joy with them as well.
Okay, you make it sound really easy. And I know from experience and from talking to people that it's not always a place that we go automatically when we're like, wow, my partner really seems crushed out on this person, or they really seem like they're getting their needs met by someone else.
So I have felt jealousy. In fact, the first poly seminars that I taught were on jealousy. And I would start off by saying my qualification for teaching the seminar is that I get jealous all the time. Whenever I could have felt frubble but didn't, it usually, okay, always had to do with some sort of insecurity of mine. So here's an example. When I was with Gray Dancer, you know, he would date other women, and I was always fine. It's okay. It's really cool. And a lot of women I know can feel insecure about, you know, is she prettier than me? Is she younger than me? Those are not my insecurities at all. I'm like, hello, I've got all this. No problem there.
She's quite attractive. Audiences.
I have boobs that men have got on their knees and written poetry to. You know, I have, you know, an ass that Janet Hardy once complimented. I just kind of want her
Janet
to sign
Hardy
it,
is,
right.
Is the co-author of The Ethical Slut, a well-known sex educator.
And she's absolutely amazing, and she's someone I admire. However, he started dating somebody who was a sex educator and was incredibly coherent and literate. And then my jealousy kicked in because she could talk and say this beautiful long sentence without saying or pausing and using all these words that I knew what they were, but they're not in my common parlance. And I felt my jealousy kicking in. So when I saw them together, I'm like, she's not smarter than me. But I realized it was my own insecurity. So I was basically threatened by somebody who I felt to be smarter than me. But the second I identified that and sort of, you know, admitted with a little bit of shamefully going, yeah, that's why I'm embarrassed. That's why I'm not feeling the frubble. Once you acknowledge it, it doesn't go away immediately, but I find it's pretty easy to dissipate that sense of jealousy once you figure out what your insecurity is and you can name it and actually fucking say it out loud. That makes the frubble or the compersion so much easier to experience.
And it makes the jealousy easier to combat, because I feel like that's part of the problem too, is that if we can't name it or even acknowledge it, it's hard to deal with it. And by even saying it out loud, it disarms the jealousy somehow.
It really does.
Yeah.
It's like taking a flashlight and just, you know, searching out all those deep insecurities in the little corners of your brain.
We've got a question from our audience.
Hi, I'm Lindsay Doe from Sexplanations. I don't want to interrupt your chemistry. The two of you are so amazing together. But I do have a question. I wanted to ask the sexiest way that you reject a potential partner.
Unfortunately, of late, I've been the rejectee more than the rejector, which has been incredibly painful, but a very valuable learning experience for me in that area. I have actually learned, I used to do the thing that most people do, which is kind of give the smile and the half nod and like, yeah, we could get together sometime. And I've learned that that's not kind at all. One of the things that I have learned through this is that the kindest thing to do is simply to say, you know, I really like you as a person. You're very interesting to me. I don't really think I have a sexual or romantic interest in you, but if it's okay with you, I'd still like to meet for coffee. Or if I'm not interested, I might even leave off that last part. And just being kind of blunt about it in a polite tone, I find is the kindest thing you can do.
Yeah. So my answer to that would be, not that I'm, you know, I'm a destroyer of egos and I'm rejecting suitors at every turn, but there are a few things that, you know, opportunities that come my way. Is I lead with a compliment. So as long as they aren't egregiously creepy or bizarre or have like totally violated my boundaries or said some line that's just super embarrassing, I often sort of validate like, thanks for asking and thanks for putting yourself out there. Like that's really brave to just come right up to me, say what you want. And that has value. And you just have to keep putting yourself out there and people are going to respond to that. So I really appreciate that you have just made this overture and made it clear to me what you want. So lead with the compliment and then say, but, you know, I'm really not interested in that right now. You know, I think that I rarely do this, but I know people who do it and get into trouble, which is like, oh, you know, I'm really busy at Catalyst Con. I just have so much going on, but maybe like at the next event that I see you at, guess what? That person's going to show up and they're going to go, hey, so what about now? Don't seem busy. And then you're screwed because you've like delayed it. You've delayed the rejection.
It's one thing I learned from cuddle party directives and also just from the yes means yes movement that don't say maybe when you mean no.
Mm-hmm. It's not fair.
It's not fair. It's not kind. It really isn't. It's really just kinder to say, I am not interested in you that way, but thank you for asking. And I like your answer better. And it made me remember that what I did for a long period was if anybody asked me out, I would say yes, because I thought I reward bravery. I'm like, I've tried asking people out. It sucks. It's hard. I hate it. I'm the girl. I know I'm terrible. I'm like, I want you to ask me out. So whenever, and I have asked people out, and it requires an incredible amount of bravery, I think. So I used to just always say yes to reward them for having the courage to ask me out. Now I just don't really have time for that. So I just tell them, thank you, no.
Thanks for your question, Lindsay. And for that, you are going to win a fantastic prize, the award-winning vibrator, The Thrill by WeVibe. Woo! WeVibe has an incredible line of products, and they recently collaborated with Dr. Marty Klein to create a free 57-page guide on achieving the ultimate pleasure in your sex life. It's called The Wee Book of Delights, and you can find out more at WeVibe.com. Let's take another break. More with Cunning Minx when we come back.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Turn off the TV and pick up the remote control that is sure to please. Worn while making love, the WeVibe 3 features whisper quiet motors that will keep you anything but quiet. We can't help it if the rechargeable battery lasts longer than you do. Learn more about the world's number one vibrator for couples at WeVibe.com. WeVibe, share the pleasure.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at 6 retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. I'm here with my fabulous guest, polyamory expert and host of Poly Weekly, Cunning Minx, and we're in front of a live studio audience at Catalyst Con West. It looks like we have another question from the audience.
Hello, my name is Melody Ann, and I'm from Vancouver, Canada. I was intrigued by the term that you used earlier in today's interview, polykinkery, because I'm quite interested in the intersections between polyamory and BDSM. So I was wondering if you could elaborate on that.
First, I should say I'm a big fan of just making up terms, making up labels. If you don't feel the existing labels apply to you, make up your own fucking label. That's how I came up with the term boobysexual, because I mostly am into cock, not really into women below the waist, but goddamn, who doesn't love boobs? They're awesome. So she actually created the term for her, polykinkerous. It might have been around before, but for her, it basically meant that she had a primary partner that she went home with and shared all the coupley things with. But with certain people that she felt comfortable with, she would engage in kink play. Now, I'm not sure exactly for her what the definition was in terms of sex, and I'm putting that in air quotes because people have different definitions of sex. But I know that for her, kink, BDSM, impact play, she did want that with people other than her husband, but she really just wanted to come home to her husband.
And I think that's a really common model, actually. Mm-hmm. People who aren't kinky don't understand it necessarily, but I actually think within the kink community, there is a tremendous amount of overlap between poly people and kink people. And I think that comes from when you step outside kind of one set of norms, you're more likely to be able to step outside another set of norms. And for me, kink people are constantly redefining identity, sexual roles, desire, community, family structures, and relationships. I mean, the way that kink people create relationships is often quite different than non-kink relationships. And so I think there's tremendous overlap. And because negotiation is a part of kink, that piece comes into it and gets carried over into, hey, if you can tell me what you really, really want in the dungeon, tell me what you really, really want in this relationship.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree with everything you just said. Once you step outside of a societal construct, it's not like all bets are off, but it becomes a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. And also, we are used to negotiating kink play. I mean, if you can sit down and negotiate, you know, slapping and punching and knives and crazy anal play, then, you know, you can certainly sit down with your partner and say, hey, I want to experiment with women, or I want to try to be with this other type of person, or I want to be in love with somebody else and have that be okay.
Thanks for your question, Melody.
You're welcome.
You're going to win a fabulous prize. the Aqua Rabbit from Good Vibrations. Thank you, Good Vibrations. You know, this makes me think about one of the most compelling stories for me in my book, Opening Up, which is about this kinky couple. And they were a married couple. And when they first got together, the guy had a little bit more experience with kink. And so when he approached, and he's a dominant and she's a submissive. And when he approached her, he said, listen, I want to know what you're into. I want to get a complete sense. So I'm going to give you this really long checklist. And these checklists are around. They're online. They're probably on FetLife. You know, it's like, and people create these lists, these yes, maybe no lists about what they want to do, what they might want to do, what they definitely don't want to do, right? Of all these different kinds of kink practices. So she felt like going into it, she had very clear boundaries. They had a very clear understanding of what they each wanted, all this stuff. Fast forward, they also say they're going to be polyamorous and they start having other play partners, girlfriends. It's all good. Then she gets involved with a man and falls in love with that man. And the husband and dominant flips out. I mean, he feels totally betrayed. He's like, you're breaking the rules. This is all wrong. I can't believe you've done this. And she thinks, I didn't think I was breaking the rules at all because we agreed that we could have these other partners and we could even fall in love with them. And he says to her, well, right, female partners. And she's like, wait, but I didn't get that memo. I didn't know that that was part of the agreement. And in his mind, it very much was. And at that point, they had only had female partners, but that was simply sort of luck and her taste and whatever. And so she said to me, I wish I had that checklist, that same checklist we had for kink when we were negotiating our relationship. Like, I would have checked off, like, might want to get involved with men? Yes. Might fall in love with men? Yes. And that would have been all clear. And that really inspired me to create these checklists. There's checklists in the book, and you can also download them on my website, openingup.net. I think they're really helpful for people.
Incredibly helpful. It's one of the things I really loved about your book is that it almost is like a workbook for people where you can walk through, you can just flip to the chapters describing the different relationship structures, and you give great advice about, you know, this type of relationship structure is great for people who, and you have your little checklist of if these are the things you want, read more about this relationship structure. And it's exactly what the poly world has needed. So if I may just say on the air, on the record, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for writing Opening Up.
Oh, thank you. We've got another question from our audience, and this person, I can tell just by looking at her that she waited until this moment to ask a question because she knew somehow that she was going to win an amazing bondage kit from Sport Sheets. Sport Sheets makes some of the most versatile and usable and accessible bondage toys out there. Go to sportsheets.com to find out more. I know she's going to.
I'm Darby from Reno, Nevada, and I mustered all of my strength to advocate for what I wanted and brought up the conversation about non-monogamy. And from that moment forward, I have been feeling terribly guilty about wanting what I want. And I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts about how to be unapologetic about advocating for your own needs.
Well, that is a question I don't think I've ever been asked before.
Wow, Darby.
That's a tough one. I'm not sure I actually have really great advice because I still on occasion feel guilty about wanting what I want or more often not wanting something that my partner wants. So for me, it's simply a matter of I still deal with this and I voice my guilt. I own it instead of letting it affect other things. I tell him, I feel really guilty that you wanted X last night and I wasn't up for it. But you know that the second I am well rested and caffeinated, that I'm going to give you all the X that you want. And that's how I've dealt with things like that. I don't know, Tristan, do you have advice?
I have a few things. One is I want to recommend another person who is Marsha Baczynski.
She's amazing. Yes.
Marsha Baczynski has a whole program called Asking for What You Want. And it's Asking for What You Want on Facebook. And she also has a website called SuccessfulNonMonogamy.com. And these are her very issues that she gets to the heart of. So that's my first thing that I want to give you. The second thing I would say is, I think you have to strike the balance between this is what I want and I'm going to do this in an ethical, compassionate way. So I am not going to steamroll you. I'm going to work with you. Let's talk about what you want and let's see if there is a workable middle. Because I think the other thing that this speaks to, which is so incredibly important, is that there is this assumption that when we find this partner who we connect with on a bunch of different levels, we're going to be 100% compatible with them around sex and relationship needs and wants and desires. And it's really funny because, you know, there's kind of, I would say that couples therapy really benefits strongly from people's libido mismatches. You know, you want one kind of sex, more sex, less sex than I do. That's a common conflict that drives people to therapy. But I think the assumption underlying that conflict is we should want the same exact thing, which is entirely unrealistic, doesn't really make any sense. It's like all of us going, it's like going with your spouse to a restaurant and you have to order the same thing. I mean, that would be weird because like my partner loves pickles, pickled things. Oh, I hate pickles. I'm just going to put it out there. I hate pickles. Okay. So like that seems ridiculous. And yet I think we make these assumptions about what we want. So, and I feel like also for women, I think we're not encouraged to be unapologetically desirous, unapologetically assertive about our needs and our wants. So we have to get also over this kind of cultural programming, which says, honey, let's put your needs aside, okay, for the family, for the greater good, for the church, whatever it is, right? And so I think it's difficult. I think it's something that, of course, we all struggle with, but you've got to balance it. And the truth is, if you know what you want and you know clearly this is the most important thing to me, you've got to make it workable or you can't. And that's okay. You know, I don't want to focus on if my partner is like, absolutely no way, absolutely no way. If they need to do that and they need to say that and they say, this is never going to be workable, I can't make them work it out.
And something that's important to note too, and Tristan, thank you so much for bringing up Marsha. She should have been the first to my mind, so thank you so much. Is you should give yourself, because this is hard for all the reasons that you just listed, give yourself credit for having the courage to ask for what you want. Many people don't, and many people stay in unhappy marriages because they didn't have the courage to ask for what they want. So give yourself props. And when your partner comes to you and asks for what he or she wants, even if it's hard for you to hear, even if you have a negative reaction to it, at some point, you really should thank your partner for being brave enough to tell you that. Because as we know, when you ask for what you want and you don't get it, it can be very hard.
Okay, we're going to take another break. That was a lot to cover. We're just going to take a little pause. So we're going to hear from our fantastic sponsors who make this show possible, including Astroglide. One of Astroglide's newest products is Astroglide Sensitive Skin Gel. It's all the things you love about their gel formula, but with no harsh ingredients. So no parabens, no glycerin, really body safe. Go to astroglide.com to find out more. We'll be back.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Enhance pleasure for you and the ones you love to love with Astroglide personal lubricants. Astroglide provides that extra oomph in creating a better and more exciting sexual experience. Astroglide's wide product range allows you to pick and choose based on personal preferences. All the products are also latex condom compatible, allowing for safer sex practices. Astroglide values the benefits of a fun and healthy sex life as part of a happier lifestyle, and so should you. For more information and a free sample, visit astroglide.com and get your sex life to blast off today.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning Expert Guide Sex Education Series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. This live studio audience at Catalyst Con West for this particular episode has been especially enthusiastic, engaged, and I think really has added a lot to this conversation. And we've got another question.
Hi, I'm Suki Jones, true sex blogger. 4 years ago, after debauchery at Burning Man, I opened up my marriage. It took a lot of negotiation. It's been great. Since this 4 years has gone by, I've mostly been dating non-poly people. So I stumble upon them in the world and everybody is like, wow, that sounds great. And then inevitably we have some serious conflicts and they don't really understand the agreements and they don't understand my husband. And so now I've met somebody super special who I really, really like, and we're taking it very slow, but he is not a poly person. So I'm left wondering, do I step forward? Where's my checklist? Like, how do I proceed?
Great question.
And I'm afraid it is a great question. And I'm afraid that my first bit of advice is probably not very helpful, which is no poly virgins.
Oh, you're a no poly virgin person.
Now, for me, okay. It's...
That's totally fair. It's totally valid. I mean...
So that's generally just flat out. Now... That being said, we were all polyvirgins at one point, so that's really unfair to say, right? So if you think that this person is worth it and you really do want to pursue this, just be aware that there is going to be a lot of drama. There's going to be a lot of crying and tearing of hair and gnashing of teeth because coming into poly from the mononormative world is a very difficult process. It was wrenching for me. I did not realize when I was a kid, I had fantasies about falling in love with a guy and being whisked off to Paris and then meeting another guy in Paris. I kept getting confused going, okay, from what I watch on TV, I don't really know how to end my fantasy because this doesn't ever happen on TV and then in movies. So I just kind of be like, and then we all hang around together and they like each other and it's awesome. So you don't really realize how many monogamous constructs are in your life until you start trying to buy three tickets to something or seats for three somewhere. And there were a lot of things I didn't even realize were in my head until I started dating somebody who was in an existing relationship. So full disclosure, it's going to be a really tough road, but I highly recommend Tristan's book, Opening Up. You don't necessarily have to read it cover to cover. You can go to the bits that you think might describe the type of relationship you want, talk it over with your partner, read The Ethical Slut. I highly recommend that you join your local poly community. It is incredibly difficult to try and negotiate that first year or two of polyamory and the first poly relationship without non-sexual support from people who understand what it's like to be polyamorous. So the best piece of advice I can give you is find your community. Find friends, not people to date, people who have been there before, who can listen to you, answer your questions, and where you can hear their happy poly moments when the going gets really tough and you think that you're at an impasse and it's never going to work.
I want to echo this thing about support, and I also feel like you need to hook up your poly virgin with support too. Because
absolutely.
I think one of the danger problem things that comes up is you have this poly virgin, they're having all these feelings and all of these issues come up, and the only person they have to process that with is you because you're the only poly person they know. And I think that it's taking on too much because you're trying to negotiate your relationship. You're trying to work out your dynamic. You're trying to work out your own issues. There are going to be these separate issues that are just about that person that they could take to a friend and confidant. Of course, we need a friend and confidant who maybe has some experience with these things. So I would say access the community and kind of like find separate people to be your support system and cultivate relationships with people, different people, so that that support is there. And I agree going into it that you kind of have to be prepared for, because we were all that person once. And just to be clear too, I've just got to put this out there, is that I've been practicing open relationships and non-monogamy for many, 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 many years, decades, it feels like. And I'm not perfect at it. And I still make mistakes. And I still like sometimes look at myself and say, girl, you do not have your shit together on this. And so, so it's really not just the newbies. I mean, we all like run into new stuff all the time. But the other piece of this, I just want to know if you'll come back and answer a question, is would he like to remain monogamous with you?
Well, I haven't asked that because we're very much in the fiery phase of we're going to just have coffee and see if we're still digging each other. So we're going really slowly. And he's talked about wanting to expand and wanting to be free. And he sees a lot of himself in me and he wants to learn all about this. But he hasn't said, I want to be monogamous with you.
Okay. But I just want to put that on the table as an option so that you don't need to like convert him fully. You don't need to clone him entirely. In other words, he needs to really fully embrace, understand, respect, honor polyamory as a concept. And he can choose it or not. He can, in fact, you guys, you know what I mean? He can, this is a non-traditional relationship and it's a non-monogamous relationship, but he can say, okay, I've gone through all this. I dig your husband. I dig your vibe. I get your thing. I want to just be with you. And that is a viable option that not enough people talk about, which is just one partner's monogamous and one partner's not.
So I just want to add that my husband is 100% monogamous. He only dated because I was like, please get out there, see what it's like to be desired. And it was kind of a disaster. And he did read Opening Up and he's done all the research. And he said, that's really just not for me, but I get it that it's for you.
Oh, good.
Oh, my
God. Good for him. Excellent.
Okay. And I didn't know that about you. So, right. So that proves my point. And so you may end up with these two monogamous guys and then you're in a V. It's all good. Oh my God, we're out of time. I'm sad. I know.
No.
I know. We are. I mean, this is what I mean, is like they're crying, but we're out of time.
I'm crying.
Okay. So I want to know briefly if you have anything special you want to plug, and then we're going to wrap up and say goodbye.
Just listen to the podcast. It's free. It will always be free. Share with your friends, polyweekly.com, or if you just do a search for polyamory on iTunes, we come up first. And if you have extra money in your pockets, feel free to donate. I use the donations to pay for travel to fabulous conferences like CatalystCon, so I can come and meet and talk with you guys. And thank you again, Tristan, so much. It has been an honor to be on your show. And thank you guys for coming and for asking the questions.
Cunning Minx is the producer and host of Polyamory Weekly at polyweekly.com. You can also find her on Facebook at Polyamory Weekly and on Twitter at Cunning Minx. All of these links and more can be found at sexoutloudradio.com. Click on the link for episode resources. You can always find me at buckerup.com. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Matt, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. Tune in next Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern for another edition of this show. Until then, I encourage you to keep the discussion going on Facebook.com/AskTristan, on Twitter at SexOutLoudRadio, and in your own life. Take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.
Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.